Good morning again. Welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are visiting with us this morning, especially want to thank you for being here and hope that you do feel Christ's love in this place. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you and invite you to fill that out, and you can just leave it there in the seat there when you leave. There's a place where if you'd like to have your email, be on our email list, you can put your email there and check the little box that you'd like to be added to that. We'd love to know that you were here. Don't require that of you, but really would enjoy knowing you were here. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Or as the young, hip pastors say, turn your Bible on to Ephesians 6. I told y'all that, I think, a couple of summers ago, Cheryl and I, where I was going to school, and we visited a church, and they were very young, and that's how the pastor said that. If you'll turn your Bibles on, like, wow, we ain't in Kansas anymore, man. Ephesians chapter 6, this is the Apostle Paul writing, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. We just sang it, but Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We ask you to speak in power and authority this morning. It's the only way you speak. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, my father has been with Jesus. This September will be 5 years. I loved my dad, and he was an awesome dad. And the last couple of years of his life, Dad, we discreetly kind of snuck the keys away from him. Dad couldn't drive anymore, and he enjoyed going to Lions Club. Every Thursday his Lions Club would meet, and he loved the guys there and the ladies, and he wanted to go, and so I had the privilege of getting to drive him to Lions Club the last two years or so of his life. And you know, Dad, if you knew my dad, my dad loved to talk. He was a storyteller, but the last couple of years of his life, things changed. His health got to the point where Dad just didn't talk a whole lot. I think that sometimes the conversation was just moving too fast for him. But it was interesting. Every Thursday when I would go pick him up, we had the exact same routine. I'd go in, I'd pick him up. I'd help him get to the car. We'd get in, and they lived on Delwood. I don't know if you know where Delwood is, but it's on the north side, and it's kind of the northwest part of town. And I throw that map up there. I wanted to kind of show you if you got it, Lee. Maybe not. Okay, maybe we don't. Anyway, they lived on the north side. And Delwood would ran up and into Ambler. Now, so Dad, there was two words that Dad would say several times on every trip that we would make to the Lions Club, and the words were clear right. There it is. It's kind of small. I don't know if you can. Oh, that wasn't the full screen. We'll get there in a second. Maybe not. There's that. Well, hey, we got ahead of ourselves here. I may have had those screens out of order. Go one more, Lee. All right, go one more. Don't you love technology? There we go. Hey, oh, there it is. All right, see the little red dot down at the bottom? That was Mom and Dad's house. And it's hard to see, but that's on Delwood, and North 18th and Ambler are the two cross streets. So we would, as we backed out of the driveway, Dad, he was not talking much those last couple of years. He would look to his right as we backed out of his driveway, and he would say, clear right, and we'd back out of the driveway, and then we'd start going. You need to stay on that map, Lee. And we'd drive down Delwood, and we'd get down to Ambler, and we'd get to the stop sign at Ambler, and there was a lot of traffic a lot of times on Ambler, and Dad would say, clear right. We'd take a left, and we'd go down to the highway on Danville, and we'd stop there, clear right. We'd go under the overpass, get to Clack. Let me have those backed up. Clack, clack. We'd stop at that stop sign, clear right. We'd take a left to get on the access road. We'd get up on the loop. We'd come all the way. You can take it off now, Lee. We'd come all the way around. We'd come all the way around. The meetings were at prime time. We'd come all the way around, and as we exited the exit off the loop to get to prime time, there was merging traffic. What do you think he said?
Clear right.
Clear right. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 clear rights every Thursday. And on the loop, we'd sometimes talk about the Cowboys or how he was doing, how he was feeling, or something like that. But for the most part, clear right was what I got out of Dad. And I was thinking, as I was thinking about that, I've told Cheryl this many times. It's like that was symbolic of my dad taking care of me. That's all he had right there at that moment. Was those two words, clear right, just making sure that there wasn't any traffic coming. My dad was a great dad. Today, the sermon title is, now you can, it's all, never mind, it's okay, but the sermon title is clear right, God's call to fathers, God's call to fathers. I want to spend some time talking about us as we think about our fathers, but some of us are fathers. I want to think about how we, what God is calling us to do for our fathers, but also what God is calling us as fathers to do for our children. So the first thing I want us to look at is God's Word. These all come from the Lord's Word. These are not my ideas, my opinions. God's Word declares that dads should be honored and obeyed by their children. This passage that we read today says, children, obey your parents. Now notice that we're not just talking about fathers here, we're talking about mothers as well. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now it doesn't say obey your parents when they're right. It doesn't say obey your parents if they're worthy of being obeyed. It says obey them in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. So God is commanding us. He's not suggesting us to us. He is commanding us to honor and obey our father. Now, again, it does not say honor and obey if your father is honorable. Now, so I want to talk about that a second. I say this a lot of times talking with couples, that doesn't mean if some of us were blessed with tremendous earthly fathers, and some of us maybe not. Some of us may not even know who our father is on this earth, but we have a heavenly father. But nonetheless, he is saying to us that whether our fathers are honorable or whether they're not honorable, we are to honor them. There's something about this status of father that we should honor. Now, it does not mean that if your father is got issues and is dysfunctional and causing, doing things that are unhealthy, it doesn't mean you have to go along with those things, but it still means that they are still father. There's still this place of honor and to be obeyed. So that's our call of how we treat fathers. Secondly, now, as we move down into the second item, God's Word declares that dads, now the emphasis is on what we as fathers are to do. God's Word declares that dads should encourage and instruct their children. Encourage and instruct their children. I think one of the greatest responsibilities as a dad is to lift your children up and encourage them, to let them know that they are special. I used to say this to the girls when they were little. I would say, I love you, do you know why? I don't even know if they remember me saying this, but I would say, I love you, do you know why? And they would say, no, Daddy, I don't know why. I said, just because you're Kirby. Just because you're Jordan. Not, you know, we love our children when they come out of the womb. Even before that, we love our children not because of all the things, you know, we don't think about, golly, you know what? If I have a son, maybe someday he's going to mow the yard. That'll be awesome. You know, we don't. Maybe if I have a daughter, they might help clean the dishes sometime. We don't think about the things that they're going to do for us. We think about, I just love them. Anybody, when your little guy, when Daniel came out of the womb, you just loved him, right? I mean, he hadn't done anything for Kirby and Ryan. He was just Daniel. And so there's this idea of just to encourage, lift our kids up, to instruct them. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I've said this before, and I've apologized, and she has accepted my apology. But I can remember it. It's seared in my mind. We were in Mexico one time, and Kirby, I tell her, you know, girl. You can. My dad used to tell me the same thing. You can tear up a brass ball. Anybody ever steal brass, whatever, you know? And Kirby's kind of like me. He's like, and my dad used to always say, when I was little, shh, Jeff, shh, you've been a little too loud. I know y'all can't imagine that I was loud as a child. But Kirby, I used to do the same thing. That her and Jordan would just be, you know, making a lot of noise. And I'd be going, bring her down a little bit. Just bring her down a little bit. But we were in Mexico, and we're walking. Kirby was little, and we were walking through this gift shop, and they got all these little trinkets everywhere, and Kirby knocks one over, and it falls on the floor, and she puts it back on the table, and we continue shopping. And here in a minute, here comes the store owner with this little ceramic figurine that had been broken. And I got frustrated with my daughter. Kirby, you got to be more careful. And I have regretted that, the way I reacted to that. That was probably 20-something years ago. And I've apologized many times to Kirby about that. But we encourage our kids. Encourage them. Let them know. I mean, that's one of the things that happened this week with VBS is like just letting these kids know that God loves you. You are created by God, and you are designed for a purpose. You are special just the way you are. So as fathers, God's word declares that to us, that we are to encourage and instruct our children. Thirdly, God's word declares that dads should love and protect their wife and children. Now, in Ephesians, this is a chapter earlier than the passage I read today, Ephesians 5, and I go, especially when I do premarital counseling, I talk about this a lot. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know what, dads, the greatest gift you can give your children is to love your wife. I mean, we gross our girls out all the time. Because I come home and hug and smooch on my wife, and I don't care if I'm old and gross. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to do it. And if it grosses you out, well, just leave. Leave the room. It doesn't really matter. I want them to see a dad that adores his wife. What a great gift that is to our children. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So there's this, as dads, there's this idea that to love the sacrificial love, the love of Christ, it doesn't say love her when she's being particularly lovable that day, or love her if she's worthy of it that day or that moment. This is love. You know, I've said this before, it's not to shame you, it's just the truth. Jesus, the most loving act in the world was him like this, getting nailed to a cross. And that was not a fun experience. It was not warm and fuzzy. It was costly. That's what it's saying. Love your wives like that and let your children see it. God's word declares that dads should love and protect their wives. Also goes on many times in Scripture, we see this the imagery of God as a parent, father, and even mother. In Matthew 23, I love this passage where Jesus is standing. He's standing in the garden, and he's looking down over Jerusalem, and he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." So this imagery of God as this parent that's gathering his chicks under his wings, or under his or her wings, and this applies to mothers as well. This gathering and protecting. You ever try to mess with a hen when she's on the nest? We don't want to mess with it unless you like having holes pecked in your hand. There's this protective mechanism that God is calling us to. Jesus had the heart for his people, and he's calling on us to have that heart, to love and to protect our wife and children. You know, how many of you men went to some of the Promise Keepers events back in the day? And this Promise Keepers was big in the 90s. Transformed. I'm sure there are men all over this nation that came to know the Lord or strengthen their walk through Promise Keepers. I went to several events, but I remember, I believe it was 97. I went back and looked, and the best I could tell, it was 1997. They had several events at the old Texas Stadium where the Cowboys used to play, and in 97 was one of those events, and I actually went. I don't know if you remember, Jim, but you went, and Dad, my father-in-law Jim, and my dad went with us, and we had a group. And John Maxwell was one of the speakers. I actually, by the way, I also got to hear Tom Landry that week, that weekend. And that was pretty awesome just to hear him share. But John Maxwell, he came out on stage and he placed three chairs. Now he may have, I'm going to paraphrase because it's been 20 years since I heard this, but I got the gist of it. He placed three chairs on the stage, and the theme of the weekend was the making of a godly man. And he talked about these three chairs, and he said, "Men, especially if you're a dad, you may not know it, but you're sitting in one of these chairs as an example to your wife and your children and those around you." And he started talking about chair number one, and basically this is a chair of the committed to loving God and others, beginning with our family. We're passionate. Lives characterized by passion and obedience, reading the word, praying, serving others. In other words, all in. Our chair number two is the lukewarm chair that serves God and family when it's convenient, when they feel like it, when it fits our plans. We do just enough to get by, kind of one toe in. Chair number three, the self-centered chair. Hardly, if ever, thinks about God or others. Our focus is ourself. And here's the problem. Even if we're sitting in the first chair, even if we're in that committed chair, our seats aren't glued to that chair. We can slide from chair to chair. And the good news is, if we're sitting in chair number three, we can also move to another chair. Now, so I can't do it the way John Maxwell did. If you ever heard him speak, he's an excellent preacher and teacher. But as he told this story, all I can tell you is the Holy Spirit was in that. There were 60,000 men in Texas Stadium, and the Holy Spirit was in that place, and the Holy Spirit just swooped down on me, and I was extremely moved, and I went over to my dad, and I hugged him, and I'm weeping, and of course, Dad's kind of freaking out, like, what is going on? And I just began to weep, and I said, Dad, thank you for sitting in chair number one for me. Thank you for being that kind of dad for me. I'm not, Dad probably felt unworthy of that. But he definitely sat in chair number one. So I guess the question is, where do we sit, men? And ladies, you're not off the hook. Where do you sit? God is calling for fathers and husbands to sit in chair number one. He's calling us to be committed, to be worthy, to be honored and respected, to encourage and instruct our children and our grandchildren. You know, that's one of the things. Now I'm a grandpa. I never got to know my grandpas. Both of my grandfathers were deceased when I was born, and I feel like to this day I missed out. I feel like I missed out. I want little Daniel and little Oliver to see a godly grandfather that sits in chair number one for them and for their family, to love and protect their family. So which chairs do we sit in, church? You know, this analogy doesn't just go for us as individuals, but it goes for us as God's people, as a church, as our nation. You know, or where are we as a nation, for the Christians of our nation? It goes for churches and denominations. You can apply it in so many different areas. Bow your heads with me if you would. Father, I thank you for those fathers that have gone before us, that have sat in chair one for us. Help us to be like that. And for those of us, God, who never had an earthly father that we could look to like that, let us look to you, because you are indeed the God who longs to gather us under your wings, under the protective layer of your wings, to embrace us even when we mess up, even when we're a total mess, even when we're broken, wounded. You want to gather us together. Help us be like that. Help us look to you as our example. Help us to honor our father and our mother. In Jesus' name, amen. The praise team will come as we close today. I pray that everybody in this room knows Jesus. Knows him, not just knows him, but has made personal relationship with him. If you want to know more about that, if you've never really made that step, I will be around after the service. I invite you to come and seek me out. I will be around as long as you want me to be. Let's stand as we close. Fathers, watch to the right. Be able to say, clear right. Gather your children, gather your family as a mother hen gathers her chicks. Go and tell someone in Jesus' name. Amen.
All I hope is in you. All I hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed. Jesus.